so quickly by. How the time had flown. Two brothers came before the Lord to an altar made of stone. Each one had a sacrifice, obeying God's command. One had fruits to offer, the other a spotless lamb. His son lay on the altar, bound by death, it seemed. Raised above his head as in the fire it gleamed. Then from a bush behind him, God showed Abraham the only way to heaven is through the blood of a spotless lamb.
Thank you for that. Let's stand briefly as we read the scripture, Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4, we'll read a few verses, and then we'll let you be seated. Acts chapter 4, and we'll start in verse number 34, and then we're going to read through into chapter number 5. Okay, Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 34. Hear the paces rustling. Acts 4:34, it says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Crispus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? And hast not lied, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. The young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straight away at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us again. Thank you for this morning. I pray as we look at these verses and we share some thoughts about stewardship, that you would help us to be open and to see what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, for this week, and we'll finish up next week, we are talking about stewardship. Stewardship is understanding everything I have comes from God. He's given it to me, and I am to manage it the way that He has told me. Really, it is not mine in a sense. It's technically God's through me, and I am to steward it. That would be basically your life. The time that God has given you, that would be your family, your spouse, and your resources. We mentioned last week that you have three options when it comes to be a steward. You can be a good steward, someone that understands what God has and what God wants, and we follow His principles and His precepts, and we do it. You can be a bad steward. You reject God's authority. You take what He has given to you as yours, and you use it the way that you want. Most people want to be a neutral steward. Neither here nor there. You just try to bury your head in the sand and not really think about it. By the way, a neutral steward is no different than a bad steward, so you can call yourself neutral, but in essence, you're being a bad steward. The question I always ask us this time of year, the question I want you to ask yourself isn't whether or not you are a steward. You are a steward. The question is, what kind of steward will you be? That's the choice. Last week we started a little general message to help us on five key things we need to know about money. This week we're going to look at a different story. In this text we read, we are in the early stages of the church in the book of Acts. In the early stages, many people were in need. Some of it may have been because of because they were getting saved and there was changes going on in their life. And some of them, of course, may have been persecuted because of that. But they were in need. And so some of them were getting together and they were selling things and taking their money and offering it as an offering and bringing it to the apostles, who would then give out to those who were in need. At the end of chapter 4, we saw a man who is a very key player in the book of Acts, Barnabas. He sells a piece of land. He takes the total amount of that price. He brings it to the apostles, and they use that for others in need. He must have got some type of notoriety, or it was known. It's not why he did it. He was a very good man. And you hear as we get to chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. So they decide, hearing what people probably talking about Barnabas, maybe there was a little envy in their heart, maybe there was a little pride there, so they decide they're going to sell a land. What they do is they are going to bring part of that money as an offering, but they're going to make it look as if they're giving the whole price. Well, as is typical, Ananias shows up to church first. His wife's going to come 3 hours later. Isn't it the wives are usually later? Is that right? Okay. So, men, that's a biblical principle. Just kidding there. So, except for the Snakenberg, she always gets here before him, and they like stay like 20 feet from the church building. So, he shows up to church, and he shows up and brings offering, and Peter, God must have clued him in. The Holy Spirit must have let him know what was going on. And Peter's like, so you sold the land for this much? Yeah, and you gave it all. And he basically says, look, you allowed Satan to fill your heart. You didn't lie to me. You lied to God. And you're going to die. And he dies right there. They pick him up. They carry him out. They wrap him up. They dig a hole. By the time his wife gets to church 3 hours later, he's buried. He's done. Now, I don't know if Peter was being a little mean-spirited here, but the wife walks in, goes, hey, how you doing? So, did you sell the land for this much? She goes, yes. He goes, okay. It's the same thing your husband said, and it's a lie. The guy standing at the door over there just got done burying your husband, and you're next. And she, God kills her. Now, that seems extreme. By the way, now let me just make sure so we're all comfortable here. That doesn't mean if you didn't put anything in the offering plate, the ushers have a shovel, all right? We're not going there with that. In the early days, God was trying to instill this whole thing about holiness. And so God dealt with it very, very, not that God is for lying, he's not. But God dealt with it very strictly. By the way, it reminds me of Achan. Remember Achan, when they were first going into the land, God said, listen, when we go to Jericho, don't take anything. And Achan took something, and God dealt very severely with him also. So that's kind of the principle there. But as I thought through this story, I see principles in here, Brother Penny. I see some issues in here that also to relate to our stewardship of what we have. Now, again, it's not if you don't give, God's going to kill you. That's not the point. It's the story we're using today, all right? And so I want to show some of the issues here that we're going to have to look at if we're going to understand stewardship properly in our life. I want you to see, first of all, the issue of motives. The issue of motives. Now, let me say this very, very strictly. They had bad motives, and they lied, and that's why God struck them down, okay? They didn't have to sell the land, and God never told any of them, unless he did it as a personal thing between him and them, they had to sell their land and give everything. This was something they were doing in and of their own accord. Are you with me? Okay, that's not the point. The point was that they did it incorrectly, and they lied about it, but the whole reason is their motives were wrong. Their motives were wrong. By the way, if they would have sold the land and only brought whatever portion they wanted to bring and gave it, that's a wonderful gift, and God would have honored that. Okay? They had to give the whole thing. But their motives were very clearly wrong. It may have been that there was envy on their part. It may have been that Satan got them with pride, which would make sense since that is the sin that took Satan down. But their motives, that was the issue. When it comes for us, and it comes to our stewardship, and we're talking about many things with stewardship, we're going to apply it to money. Now, whenever the church talks about money, the church always gets hammered. By the way, other organizations do that. Hospitals, colleges, and other things. Giving and generosity is everywhere, but it seems the church says something. It's wrong. The reason most people don't like to talk about it is because money can become a god in our life. Okay? And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to understand it. But motives are everything. What we give in our life, now we're talking specifically about money, but it could be anything in your life. What we give is really based on the motives that we have. It's not the amount we have available. Many of us think if I had more, I would give more. Okay? By the way, I don't know how I've had actually people say it, and if you're new and you don't understand it, you don't need to tell me this, but you know, if I ever win the lotto, I'll buy you a new church. Say, well, don't play the lotto and help us buy the church we have now. Okay? We don't need you to play the lotto. I'm gonna go to Vegas. We'll go. You know, don't gamble. We don't need that type of money. You say, well, what happens if I win the lotto? I want to give you a lot of money. Give the money and just don't tell me where it came from, okay? Kidding there. It's not, look, you wouldn't give it. There's a study that was done. The Mississippi, when it comes to annual income, is the 49th state out of 50. They're at the bottom. But when it comes in percentage of giving given away to benevolent causes, they're number 4 in the nation. Massachusetts is number 4 in the country in annual income. They're number 49 in the country in giving. It seems those that have more give less. It has nothing to do with what we have. It has everything to do with the motives of our heart. Why did God give to us? We understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What's the next verse? The couple words. That he what? Gave. Why did Jesus come and die for our sins? What was that sacrifice made? It was based on a pure motive for us. Love. Love. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth or proved his love in us. How do you do that? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So there's motives. Now don't get me wrong. Sometimes we give. There's a need. Maybe there's a need. You know, if somebody has a need and you're prompted to give to help with that need. We're not just giving out of need because our motive is to love and help with that need. I understand that. Sometimes we give because we're obedient. I say it all the time. We're supposed to do what God tells us to do, not because we feel like it. We're supposed to do it because God says we're supposed to do it. My alarm clock goes off on Sunday morning. I don't jump out of bed and say, I'm ready to go to church. I'm like, can I kill that alarm? Okay, say, oh, you're. I know I have to be here. I'm just kidding. I like being here. But your feelings when you first wake up aren't there. We don't do what we do out of feelings. We do sometimes out of obedience, and that's okay. Sometimes we give because we want to make a difference. They're all good. But if anything we give is going to last and be effective, it has to be connected to God. Our motive's got to be for him. And so let's watch our motives. I like what Romero said, and it's true. When we give in the offering plate, we're not paying a bill. You know what we're doing? We're saying, Lord, you are important in my life. This is an act of worship because worship is ascribing worth to, and when I give in that offering plate each Sunday, I'm saying, you know what, Lord? You are worthy of my life. You're worthy of everything I have, and this is just a small way I can say, Lord, you're first place in my life. It's all about motives. So we see the issue of motives. We also see, and we won't spend a lot of time here, but it is an issue of giving. They were giving a gift. Now, Ananias and Sapphira brought it to the apostles' feet, but they brought it for a wrong motive, but Barnabas and some of the others did not. You see, stewardship will be about giving, not just managing. When we're managing everything God gave us, we're managing it so it can be used for that which God wants it to be used for. It just so happens that God has ordained his church is taken care of and the needs of the church and the energy to get the gospel out is taken care of by the giving of his people. So it does involve giving. Some of us give in such a way as we think that we are going to be able to take some of it with us when we die. We hang on to it. Our story, there was a man. He decided that when he dies, he wanted to take it with him. So he had an idea. He said, I'm going to put it in the attic. Then when I die on the way up, I'm going to grab it and take it with me. Guess what happened? He died. His wife came home from the funeral and said, he put that stuff up there. I wonder if he did get to take it with him. So she goes up into the attic, and sure enough, all the stuff is right there. And so she thought to herself, he should have put it in the basement. You catch that later, thanks. You can't take it with you. So it does involve giving. Someone has said that the most sensitive nerve in our body is the one that goes from our heart to our checkbook. That one is usually stepped on pretty quickly. Last week, we passed out those step-up cards. Now, eventually, we're going to talk a little bit about what God wants us to give, but the encouragement is, let's step up in our giving. Let's grow in our giving like we grow in everything else. We want God to be a part of our money. Make no mistakes, a steward gives. I had a guy come to my office one time. He was not part of our church and came here. The church he was going to didn't have a baptistry. Should have been assigned to him. There was a problem. But he's like, I need saved. I need to get baptized. So we were sitting there talking. We're talking about, you know, I'm like, can I arrange to be baptized here? So we're just talking. And I don't know how we got on the subject of giving. He brought it up, not me. He says, you know, he's just talking about, you know, I can sidestep my responsibilities in one area by what I do over here. So I figured, well, I might as well just tell him the truth. Like, that doesn't work that way. Okay. God tells us this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do it. Giving is a part of the Christian life. If it's our money, of course, we understand that. Maybe it's we're giving our time in serving. By the way, thank God for a church that helps. There was a lot going on this last week, and I'm thankful for many that give their time in serving. I appreciate Mark. Mark lives next door and he has time and he comes here all the time now and just volunteers time to help Brother Paul. I said, man, you're Brother Paul's assistant. And if he keeps going, I'm gonna give him Brother Paul's job, okay? And I was like, you know, man, take that guy, let's get him something to eat here. But he likes to you know what? I have free time on my hand and I'm gonna invest that time. Maybe it's in ministry. God's giving you talents. But man, don't hang on to those things. Give of your talents. I appreciate our orchestra, but I know, and I don't know anybody specifically. I know in a crowd like this, some of you out there, you have some musical ability. Now, if it's electric guitar, meet me in my garage. We'll have a good time, but we're not using it in church. I'm kidding. We're not going to use it. Okay. But you have some type of talent. I used to play this and this, and I could be part of the orchestra, but you're hiding. Don't hide that talent. Some of you are in a choir. Oh, I got a voice and I can sing. Well, get up here. Come on, let's get in the choir. Let's use what we have for God. Some of you have the talent of changing diapers. That's not talent. That's acquired skill. All right, let's look at the next issue here. The issue of liability. Verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Now, as I mentioned, the problem was not in what they were giving. It was in a lie. I understand that. But the point we need to understand here is there is liability. We are accountable for everything that we do have. They were accountable in the fact that they lied. They said they were given one thing and they weren't. God knew how much money they had. But all of us are accountable with God. So listen, you're not lying to me, okay? You're not lying to me. You are lying to God. He didn't say, you offended me by telling me you're giving one thing. It had nothing to do with him. That was between them and God, and they lied to God. We are accountable. By the way, giving is a spiritual thing. Giving is spiritual. That's why Satan's fighting them there. You know, when a person doesn't give, and we've talked before, Satanism isn't sacrificing kittens and a pentagram with candles in it. Satanism is when we decide what is right and wrong. That's the first lie Satan ever told. Said, listen, you eat the fruit and you are God. Whenever we decide in our heart, here's what I'm going to do with my resources. I don't care what God says. You have now stepped over to where now you are taking the place of God in your life. It's a very spiritual thing. And God, we are accountable to God for every single thing that we do. You see, if we don't have an issue with God, if he isn't the proper, we are allowing him the proper authority in our life, giving in any area of our life isn't an issue. Because the issue is God's authority in our life. Once that has been established, everything else is fine. Someone has said there are three types of givers: a flint, a sponge, and a honeycomb. To get anything out of a flint, you must hammer it, and then it only gets chips and sparks. To get water out of a sponge, you must squeeze it, And the more you use pressure, the more you will get. But the honeycomb just overflows with its own sweetness. The honey just flows out. Listen, that's all connected to how we see God in our life. Is God really in control? Do I understand that one of the aspects of being a steward is one day I will be accountable to God for whatever He's given me? I'll be accountable to God for my marriage. I'll be accountable to God for my life. I'll be accountable to God for church attendance. I'll be accountable to God for my Bible reading. I'll be accountable for God to how I use my finances. I'm accountable to Him. You look at the parables in the Bible about the steward and giving the talents out. The master came back and said, what'd you do with what I give you? Well, you gave me one, I got 10. I'm looking for that guy. You gave me one, I got 5. You gave me one, I hid it in a napkin. Well, there was a day coming, they were going to be accountable for how they used what God gave them. For us, it's our rewards when we get to heaven. I want you to see in verse 4 the issue of ownership. Stay with me on this one. Verse 4, he says, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? See, that was their property. They were responsible for it. Now you say, well, I thought you said God owns everything. God does own everything. But God entrusted to us on this earth. And although it's God's the ultimate owner, we cannot just take our hands. Well, you know, no, we're responsible for what God gave us. So in a sense, we're the owners practically on this earth of that which God owns and has given it to us. But we're responsible for what we do. He said, listen, that was your land. You're responsible for it. Now you chose to sell it and lie about it. But we are responsible for that which God has given us. We cannot just take our hands off of it. By the way, I kind of like trying to take care of that which you have. You know, if I understand that God has given me something, I'm probably going to take care of it a little bit better. You know, one thing I don't mind. Little boys are sometimes destructive. How many of you know that? By the way, let them be boys. Don't hamper them. Let them. They don't need to be girls. Let them be boys. But on the other hand, let's teach them responsibility. Okay, you know, you go out there and sometimes we have the kids at our house, whether it's the grandkids or whatever, and we have some like plastic cars and stuff, and they think that plastic cars, you run into the side of the house. It's like, hey, have a good time, you know, run over each other, but don't run over the side of the house. Take care of that thing. Okay, you know, let's be a little bit responsible with what we have. Why? Because we have it. Listen, God's entrusted things to us. And by the way, the money that God hasn't given to us, it's not just about that portion we give back to Him. God wants us to be good stewards of all of it. So many people are in financial trouble because they don't understand the basic principles of money that God has given us in His Word, and so we're not taking care of that even which is left over for us or we have for us to take care of the needs that we have in our life. God wants us to understand that. The closer we are to God, the better we'll understand things. And by the way, if we don't take care of what God gives us now, why would He be motivated to give us more? You think about that. When the guy came and said, you know, you gave me one talent, I got 10. Now, if I'm thinking that guy's getting 5 talents and I'm going to get 50. Right? Does that just not make sense? The guy that hit in the ground is like, you know what? You get nothing. I'm giving it to this guy over here because this guy is going to get me a profit. You know, you may be determining how much God gives you in the future by how you're using what God gives you now. Well, no. If God gave me a lot, listen, none of us are starting off there. Let's take care of what God has given us. You're determining what God gives you in the future by how you use it now. I also want us to see the issue of choice. He says, after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? He says, it was still yours even after you sold it. You're the one that made a choice with what you do to it. Now, you chose to lie. But still, it was in your hand. You have a choice. Right. Giving is always about choice. We have two options here. When it comes to tithing, you have a choice. And the choices aren't, am I going to do it or am I not going to do it? Here's your choices. I'll stand here in case you want to throw something at me. Are you going to be obedient or not be obedient? Not to me. Because I haven't given you anything. To God. Just God tells us something. It's like, here's your options. Obey, disobey. And then you have a choice with what's left. What are you going to do with what's left? Now, again, there's nothing wrong with using it for things. You have bills, you have things you enjoy doing. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we fritter away money. We don't use it properly. By the way, I choose, and our family has always chosen, not just to tithe, but to give to other good causes. We've been giving to the building for years. We started giving to the building before we were building a building over on Pacific Avenue to help get the debt down. We had a little building fund. By the way, that helped us when we moved into here. We've been given to missions since we started our Faith Promise missions in the church in 1994. We started, I was two. We started with, I think we started with $50 a month. We took on our first six missionaries as a church. And every year since then, we've increased it. We give a pretty good amount. I'm not going to tell you, but it's a good amount. Why? I want to give to missions. I'm in on missions. I want to see God do something worldwide, so we give to that. I want to invest. I'm going to start giving to the battery fund. Okay. Are we on? Yeah, thanks. You can have that one. But for years, we've been given to the bus ministry. Now, that's not nothing we've ever done where it's like, you know, and we not just on Sundays. We put that in our budget, and I give once a month, I write a check for that. Why? Because I like what happens in the bus ministry, and I want to be in on that. One time, Brother Board sent out a little email several years ago, and they wanted to start a church and one of the other things, and they were talking about tracks, and so I sent them a few $100 to help buy tracks. Why? Was that something the church was doing? No. It's just that Brother Board, and I wanted to be in on that, and we had a little extra money at that time. And so we have a choice with what we're going to do with our money. Are we going to squander it? Again, there's nothing wrong. You do things with your family and your staff. I'm just saying, do we look for ways to be a blessing with what we have? It's our choice. As I mentioned, many people believe they'd be more generous. If I had more money, I'd give more than the tithe. Forbes magazine did a study in 2007. They found out at that time there were 946 billionaires. You know how much average they gave from their income to benevolent? 1.2%. You say, now that's a lot of money if they're a billionaire, but they had a lot left. They could have done more. Yeah. The more we have, we wouldn't give more. We may give more number-wise, but we would give less percentage-wise. We have a choice. We have an issue of desire. He said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? We give to that which we love. You know why they gave? Because they love the praise of men and their pride. We already talked about that. Yep. And the last thing is this, the issue of compensation. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and gave up the ghost. He paid for what he did. Now, if you don't tithe this week, God's not killing you. Okay, we're not going there. But when we give, we are rewarded for that. You look in Malachi, God goes, look, prove me. And I'll give you a blessing. You see, what we want is we want the blessing before and not after. Sometimes you don't get the blessing until after. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It has nothing to do with politics, Brother Pineda. Okay? I heard this story many years ago. It just so happens it involves Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with politics. So don't crucify me for that. I think it was 1995. He and his wife were going somewhere in a limousine. And they got a flat tire in the snow. So they pulled over, and their driver got out to change the tire. Some man was just driving home from work, and he saw the guy in the snow, and he thought, you know, I can help this guy real quick. Changing the tire is not a big deal. He didn't know who was in the car. He got out. He went over there, and he helped the man change the tire real quick. It wasn't a big deal. After he got out, Trump opened the door and said, hey, thank you. He said, what's your name? The guy gave him his name. He goes, can I do something just, you know, something nice for you? He goes, you know what? He goes, I'm going to be home late. My wife probably has dinner ready. Can you just send her some flowers for me? He goes, you know, I'll do that. Give me your name. He got all his information. A couple days later, the flowers showed up. He comes home from work, and his wife said, you want to read the note in the flowers? And he took the note out of the flowers and said, you know, thank you very much. I paid off your mortgage. Wow. Now, next time you see Next time you see a limo with a flat tire, pull over. You might just get it. Now look, if that guy would have known, if everybody driving by the freeway that day would have known that their mortgage could have been paid off if they helped with a flat tire, there would have been a line of people. You know, we're always waiting for something. Listen, the blessing comes after the obedience. By the way, God never lets us down. God never rips us. You know what? It's a matter of trust. And God says in this area, if you'll just trust me and do what I say, you don't have to. I'll take care of you. Test me. Test me. Let's stand this morning.